Amen. Glory to God. You know, the Lord is just saying, now that's worship. He really likes that a lot. That's getting into His presence. That's taking time to be with Him. Amen. That's it. Miss Charlotte, the Lord was telling me that He is speaking to you in your dreams. Pay a special attention to your dreams. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise the Lord. Grab your Bibles, if you please. You know, we can have lots of teachings here, and they're really awesome teachings. But if you know me at all, it's about doing what we've been taught. It's about doing what we hear the minister tell us. Because just knowing the information isn't enough. We have to actually be in the presence of God. We have to actually do the will of the Lord. We have to actually be transformed by making our bodies a living sacrifice and being renewed in the spirit of our minds. We have to actually walk out of this world and in the light of the glory of God. And we do that. It doesn't happen to us. We do it. The caterpillar builds his own cocoon to be transformed into a butterfly. He purposefully restricts himself. And in that tight and constricted space, it's safe for him to go through the transformation. Do you hear me? The same for you and I. We constrict our own selves to be into the presence of God. Does that make sense? And as we take authority over our own souls, over our own bodies, over our own minds, over our own natural inclinations and desires, and deliberately enter into the presence of God, His presence transforms us. Not our willpower. Not our speaking a verse over and over and over and over and over again. Unless the verse is a jump-off point for you into the presence of God. The verses in the Bible or the chapters or the books are also that we can relate to our living God and have a relationship with Him. Amen? By the absence of the presence of God in your life is where sickness has entrance into your body. In the absence of the presence of God is where troubles can flow in your direction. Now, you're going to have troubles in the earth, but they don't have to trouble you. Let me say that again. We will have troubles in the earth, but they don't have to trouble you. Right? If you remember in Matthew chapter 7, the winds and the rain and the waters, they beat upon both houses. But the one that was a sure foundation wasn't moved. But the one that was just constructed idly, just built on top of the sand, and never went deep and got cemented in, got tossed away, blown apart. Just like the wolf and the three little pigs. If you build your house out of straw or out of sticks, he can huff and puff and blow your house down. But when you make your house out of bricks, he can blow all he wants. He's not coming in, right? He's no entrance in Jesus' name. Amen? So as we do this, so, you know, there's three ways that I'd like to share briefly. One is that we have to deal with the issues in our hearts, the offenses, the wounds, the emotional stuff. We have to get that stuff out because God dwells in our hearts. Amen? So that's all about what Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is all about. Okay? God deals with us in our hearts. We have to get that taken care of. We have to also come into the presence of His glory. like we did this morning, coming into the presence of God. Look at a couple of verses with me. Let's just start in this one. Acts chapter 3. Verse 19. It says, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." Look at this. "So that times of refreshing may come." How? From the presence of the Lord. Refreshing comes from the presence of the Lord. What does refresh mean? Just looking at the word, it means to be fresh again. Amen? Revitalized. Like after a good shower after a hard day's work, you're refreshed. Amen? That comes from the presence of the Lord. How many of you have felt the presence of the Lord here today? Isn't that a good feeling? Isn't that, it's like, you know, when I come into the presence of the Lord, maybe this happens to you, maybe it doesn't, but if I've got anything bothering me, it sure does come out then, doesn't it? It's like he washes me clean and the tears come and the emotions and just, he just, being in his presence, just like, it's a threefold thing for me. It's one, it's the thing I desire most of all things. Two, it is where I can let go of whatever I was carrying. And three, it just washes me clean there in his presence. And so I've made it coming into his presence my goal. And not only just coming into it, but building his presence in my life, so that I'm always with him wherever I go. Doesn't he say he would never leave you and never forsake you? He sure did. And there's times in my life where I leave him and forsake him. You know that? It's like a man being married and getting in a group of women and forget that he's married. You know what I mean? That's not good, is it? That's not good at all. Same with the Holy Spirit. He's with us all the time. And it's not good when we put our attention on all the things in the world and we don't take him with us into it. Because he is there, isn't he? So let me ask you this. Just because I like the dialogue, is the Holy Spirit a person? Is he a person to you? Does he deserve our honor? Does he deserve our recognition? Does he deserve our attention? He does all of those things. And you know what he gives us in return? He gives us power. He gives us comfort. He gives us confidence. He gives us everlasting life. He gives us glory, and he gives us all of his own personal attributes, which is love and joy and peace and gentleness and goodness and faithfulness and long-suffering and any of the others I may have forgotten. Did I forget any? Meanness? No, I was going to say. Meanness. You've been reading the Old Testament too much. Kindness and gentleness. Faithfulness. Yes, different translations say it differently. Praise the Lord. So, as I am a big proponent of us coming into the presence of God, there's a few things that I'd like to share that help us to do that. Amen? I've shared this before, but it doesn't stress me out at all to share it again. Because it's good for you. Amen? And it's good for me to remind you. Amen? So, to meditate on the Word of God. What do I mean by that? I mean that we read the Word and we tell it to ourselves over and over and over again. And we talk to ourselves about it. And we think about it. And we let God show us things about it. And we let it get into our hearts. Amen? So, let's take one verse And let's just do that, okay? And I'll lead us. So if you will go with me, and let's do... Let's do Psalms 24. This is not one you probably do. Psalms 24, and let's start in verse 7 through 10. Psalms 24, verse 7 through 10. I'm going to read in the New King James Version. Okay, so I'll just walk you through how I meditate on the Word, okay? Here's my goal. I shared this with somebody here yesterday. When I get into the Bible, I use it as a step-off point to come into the presence of God. Does that make sense? I use it as to settle down my soul, to bring all of my attention, and I hone it all in onto this. Okay? He honors this. God honors this. And so when we use this and we meditate on this, and he, his presence comes to us, amen, in this, or is revealed through us, however the right way to say it is. But look in verse 7, it says, "Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." So this is what I do. I get quiet before the Lord, and I get the scripture. And I say, "Lift up your heads." So you know what I do? I lift up my head. How about that? And I look up towards heaven. Do you think about like when Jesus manifested the fishes and the loaves? Didn't he look up into heaven when he did that? Mm-hmm, he sure did. So I lift up my head. You gates, and I think about myself as being a gate, as actually being a doorway for the kingdom of God to operate through me. And then, and lift up, and be lifted up. So then, from being in the room that I'm in, with whatever is around me, as my eyes are closed and I'm fellowshipping with God and thinking about this Bible, I start letting myself, in my eyes of my heart, in my internal man, start seeing myself being lifted up before God and going up, 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 out of the troubles of this world, out of the bondages of this life, out of the frailty of my own body. And I start being lifted up by meditating on this word. And then it says, "And be lifted up, you everlasting doors." So being a gate and an everlasting door. So I realize that in me is the kingdom of God, right? In me is the kingdom of God. And his glory dwells in me. Isn't that the mystery? That the glory of God is actually inside of me, that the Holy Spirit actually dwells with me, in me, right? And that I am the temple of God and a doorway to everlasting life. Sounds kind of freaky when you say it all by itself. But when you're a Christian and you have a relationship with the real and living God, it's a whole different book, whole different ballgame. Because we know the kingdom of God is real. We know that the kingdom of heaven is our dwelling place. We know it. So therefore, we can close our eyes, meditate on this word, and just see myself as an open door to the Spirit of God, and that his presence of everlasting life comes flooding through my gate, and that I come into his throne room and into the presence of God as I'm worshiping him. In that place is an entirely different kind of worship than being aware of sitting in an orange pew in a brick building singing songs that were written before I was born. Whole different frame of mind. Are you with me? It's about being spiritual sons and daughters being in the presence of our living Father and our living God. Are you with me? That's meditating on the Word for the purpose of coming into the presence of God. You can do any book. You can do any. Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. And you can meditate on Lord. You're the Lord. You're the supreme authority. You are the highest of all. I belong to you. My life is yours. You're Lord. I am your son. I am your subject. I am your minister. You are Lord. Lord, you rule me. You tell me how to live. I live my life to you. You are the Lord. Lord, my shepherd. Do you see how I savor it and how I hold on to it and how I don't just read, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, I get this, like the worship we did. Pastor Trey didn't just do two songs. We did some songs, right? We prayed in the Spirit. We worshiped. We did some more songs. And we just ebbed and flowed in the presence of the Lord. And in that presence, the Holy Spirit was present. And we were able to step in. Amen? How many of y'all like this? I want to let you know, I really like it. I really like the presence of God. I really like the Lord Most High. Praise you, Jesus. So let's grab a couple other verses, shall we? Go to Ephesians. It's Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. Oops, my thumb stuck. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. Are you with me? Therefore, he says, this is great for meditating on this one. I love this one. Awake, you who sleep. Awake, you who sleep. Hallelujah. Who's awake right now? Listen, I want to let you know, there's different degrees of being awake, isn't there?
Yes.
There's different degrees of being awake. It's like a school kid, time to go to school. Mom says, get up, time to go to school. The kid's laying there going, I am, I'm awake, I'm awake. Are they awake? They're awake to a degree, right? They've come out of the unconscious sleep state, and now they're aware of their surrounding, right? To that small degree, okay? And then there is the awake after the shower. After the shower, there's a different level of awake, isn't there? Mm-hmm. And then driving into work, and you're 10 minutes late, and you see the boss at the door looking for you coming in. There's a whole different level of being awake, isn't there? Boy, isn't there. And then you're on your way home, and there's a traffic accident, and there's a person laying on the side of the road, and you recognize who that person is, and they're hurt. There's a whole different level of being awake then. Do you see what I'm saying? I'm giving you different degrees of being alert and conscious of what's going on around you. God is saying this, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. I love that. Okay, so here's another little fun thing you can do. That when you're reading your Bible and you're praying over your Bible and you think about this as you're praying, that the light of Christ starts filling you. The presence of God is upon you. And the light of Jesus just gets brighter and brighter and brighter on you. So, Pastor Robert, what does that do? What good is that? That's all imagination stuff. What good is all of that? I want to let you know something. All right, this is the important part of what I'm going to say right here, right now. Okay? The spiritual realm, through the eyes of your understanding and of your heart, is the entrance into the kingdom of God. through your inner person. The flesh profits nothing. It's only by your spirit. We're spiritually alive now, not fleshly. So it takes these eyes of our imagination to wake up to what's around us spiritually. And the only way you can do that is if you start using them. And as you start using the eyes of your understanding, of your heart, and you start building images on the inside of you of what the kingdom of God is like and what the spiritual life is like, as you start doing that, God starts adding to the pictures. God starts making a contribution into it. As you draw near to Him by doing this, this is how you draw near to God. You incline your ears, your attention, your heart, your mind, the full you towards Him. And as you move in that direction by meditating on this word and getting it inside of you in a real picture, a real life, your life, doing these things where it's safe on the inside of you, and you start building that, then He starts building that. Here's what happens. The world has built an image of who you are inside of you. And it's all of its boundaries and belief systems and all their doubt and all the things that you have gleaned to yourself through your years that says who you are have been established by your attention being in the physical world. It takes coming into the spiritual parameters, the spiritual way of looking at things, and start putting your attention there so that your heart starts believing that it's real for you. And as you keep doing it, then your heart starts waking up spiritually, eternally, according to the kingdom of God, and that starts waking up through those eyes of your heart, through the eyes of your imagination, so much so that you can say, Nathaniel, I saw you under the fig tree. Right? This is where that happens. This is where that takes place, in that realm. I saw you under the fig tree. And as you are grooming those eyes and building that image on the inside of you by meditating on God's own word, that it starts opening up, that your heart starts believing in this realm, because the world will not teach you of this, who you are. And as you do this, let me tell you this, just as a fact. This isn't here. This is a fact. You can take it to the bank. Your heart and mind cannot tell the difference between what you imagine and see with your invisible eyes or what you see with your natural eyes. They both have the same impact on you, on your heart that is logging information. They both impact you equally. Isn't that exciting? I'll prove it. Well, I'll give testimony of it. I have ministered to a lot of people and counseled with them, and they have been horrifically hurt in their inner person through their life. Horrifically. So horrific, I don't even like to share the stories because I don't like the pictures. And we walk through that stuff. And we forgive those people because it has impact on the way that they live their life. It has impact on how they present themselves in a group of people. It has impact about how safe they feel at night in their homes. It has impact in them. It has became a governing force in their life. And by working through that and getting them to forgive those things and release those things, forgive themselves for what they've done, forgive the other person for what they've done, and ask the Lord where He was in all of that. And when they sit there with their invisible eyes in their own heart, and they can picture the Lord there in that circumstance, and the expression He would have on their face, or what He would tell them as they were listening to Him, transforms their life and sets them free. So much so that when they remember it again, it doesn't hurt anymore because they've been set free of it. And it was all done through the eyes of their heart. And they've been totally released. I have forgiven people that no longer, I have no way of finding them again. No way of ever meeting them again. And some have passed in this life. So if I have to see in the natural me asking them for forgiveness and them verbally telling me they forgive me, I have no hope of ever being released from that. But if I can in my heart see that person and I tell them how deeply sorry I am for what I did to them and ask them if they would please forgive me, and they do, I get the same emotional response that I would if they were there physically in front of me, and I get released. All through my inner person, physical transformations take place. Physical forgiveness and release takes place through my spiritual man. Does that make sense? So now we've looked at the things gone by that have shaped and hemmed us into responding and acting and being certain ways. We can turn and look ahead to Jesus Christ and glory and heaven and everlasting life and the power of God and the freedom from sin and the love of God Himself being so woven into me because I spend time in Him that you can't tell the difference between me and Him. Where does that take place? The same place. In my heart. In my invisible person. But I have to be willing to allow it to be so. Just like those that have been closed off from being hurt, be willing to go back in there and get it cleaned up and set people free and be released from it. This is what transforms you. One man can water and another man can plant. But it's God that gives the increase. It comes by a new life inside of us, growing up from inside of us to manifest to the outside of us. Where's the glory of God at? Inside these earthen vessels. Inside. And by us grooming that and being with Him, I got to tell you, He can't help but be Himself. He's got no one to impress. He's got no secrets. It's impossible for Him to lie. He is what He is, which is love and hope and freedom and joy and salvation and health and life and vibrancy. I don't know where it's at. I want to look at a verse with you guys. I've been studying Rhema and the Word of God, but that's another time. I'll teach that on a Sunday. But I want you to look at something. Let me find it. Give me 1 second. Does anybody know where the verse is? There's nothing that's impossible with God. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Luke 1:37. And, you know, I want to read what this says . Nothing is impossible for God. That's not the right verse. Anyway, I'll look for it. But it says, for nothing is impossible with God. Yes, that's what it does say. And it's, here's the thing. The word thing is rhema. Boy, it's another verse. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But it says this. It says, we always say that no thing is impossible with God. And one of the translations says it this way that I just thought was just fantastic. Sorry I didn't have it ready for you. But it says that God's word is always possible or always it always accomplishes. It says it some word like that. Nothing was impossible with God. And it says that it's His word. When He speaks, it actually does what He says it's going to do. Is that the only word where it says that? Does it say rhema there? Matthew 17:20, she says. Let's look at that one. Yes, that's another one. I'll find it. I'll just do it for you right real quick. And it goes like this. And I just am going to search for the word rhema. And that'll do it real easy, which is G. What's rhema? G4487. For the word of God, idle words. Yes, these are established. Well, I can't find it right now. Maybe that's... It was the American Standard. Thank you. It was. Thank you very, very much. It was the American Standard. I was looking in the wrong one. So it's Luke 137 in the ASV. Do you have that? Read it out loud so they can hear you. There you go. That's what I was looking for. Nothing shall be impossible with God, right? No word of God shall be void of power. I should memorize that one. That's a good one, huh? No word of God shall be void of power. No word of God shall be void of power. You know, Jesus says that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, right? So this is where He talks to us, is through His word and in His presence, right? And what He shows you at that time, these people that I've walked through these healings with, these people, do you know what? When Jesus talks to them in that situation, when they hear Him say it to them personally, it changes them. Because when you hear God, faith is established in your heart. Right? Faith is established in your heart, and you can believe God when He speaks to you. He'll transform you, but you got to get to the place to where He speaks to you. And what happens with so many people is they're expecting God to get through all the din and all the noise that's going on in our lives, and they have these busy, chaotic lives, and all this stuff is going on, and their attention is spread in 250,000 different directions, and every bit of it is pulling on them, saying, it's important, pay attention to me. You got to deal with this, you got to deal with that. And what we need to do, and I explained it this way to somebody, that doorway of our heart into everlasting life, it's like we need to humble ourselves and settle ourselves down, and like it says in Psalms, that we need to calm and quiet our souls. And as we do, and we get through all the layers of the hurt and all the stuff that's stealing our attention, and we get down, down, down into that, the presence of God is there, and then it opens up into the kingdom of heaven and into the kingdom of light and into the reality of the things of God that supersede the rules of this world and that govern this world. And now nothing is impossible. Because now you're on an entirely different operation system that's not founded in the material world. It's founded in everlasting life. Are you with me? A little thing for thought, food for thought. In the beginning was God. What else was there with Him? Go ahead, shout it out. In the beginning was God. And the Word, Jesus, we'll say Jesus, right? So Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit, who are one, were in the beginning. What else? Nothing that's been created. There's nothing there that has been created at that time, was there? Nothing. There wasn't atoms, there wasn't black holes, there weren't stars, there wasn't atmosphere, gravity, people, there wasn't stuff, there wasn't molecules, atoms, there was nothing there, was there? There wasn't even light, there wasn't even darkness. There was only God who has always been. Okay? So everything that there is has come from God. There's nothing that is that has not been given to us by God. Is that true? Do you know what that means? He's everywhere in everything. That you can never be away from him. Ever. Because the entire system that you live in came out of him. Everything, that means when you come around the most honoriest so-and-so in your life, God created them. They're allowed to be set free. They're allowed to be loved by you. They're allowed to live with the desires of their hearts met. They've just got their attention on the wrong stuff. Their identity is steeped in the wrong stuff, right? Well, you can't win them by some dialogue necessarily. Even Paul, when he got in front of King Agrippa, Agrippa says, you're trying to persuade me? You almost got me convinced here, Paul. And he goes, I wish I could persuade you and all men. But I'll tell you what, in the presence of God, a person is transformed. So as you are in the Word and worshiping God and singing to the Lord and praying in your heavenly language and being literally transformed from the inside out purposefully, mindfully, intentionally, seeing yourself be the light and the glory of God in relationship with Him, that when you walk, and I'm telling you this is a fact, when you walk into a room, you bring eternity with you. And people know it. It's just the way it is. I'll tell you, I can't even tell you how many places I've gone to, restaurants and things, where favor, they just give me free stuff. They just do great jobs where people will sit down and just start sharing their lives with me and start talking to me. I don't solicit. You know what I do? I speak to them as though they're in eternity with me. And as I do, they just kind of open right up because everybody wants to be wanted, right? Everybody wants to be included. And so I look past the stuff and get into that. And I'm telling you what, I have had such wonderful experiences with people. You can too. So I encourage you, as I close, and as I have so many unsaid scriptures, you'll just have to read the book for yourself, amen? You just will, because you can't trust me to follow my notes, so you may as well just read the book yourself. But I want to encourage you, today, take away this. When you're meditating on the Word, use it as a step-off place to get into the presence of God. Don't expect Him to grab you by a lock of hair and pull you up to heaven. You draw near to Him first. You be the one that opens the doorway. You, the door and the gateway into the Spirit of God. And as you open the door and incline your heart and attention to it, He will reciprocate and come to you. Amen? And you can build that everlasting life in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Let me pray for you. Father, I just thank you for everybody here today. Father, I just thank you for Judy and Pastor Trey for leading us in worship. Thank you for anointing them and equipping them and giving them a heart to serve, Lord. I just ask you to bless them. Bless Judy in her piano business and in her skill set, Lord Jesus, and in her worshiping you through music, Lord. Just bless her with your presence and your revelation. more than you ever have in all of her years on the earth, Lord. And bless Pastor Trey, Father, as such a servant, laying down his life for us and just singing his heart out to you, Lord, and ushering in your glory and your presence. Bless him, Lord, in that. And Father, bless the people that can hear my voice, that have inclined their hearts towards you, Lord, that they, as the temples of God, have opened up themselves to your influence in their lives, Father. That you have, Father, fill us with your glory and presence. Your word says we already have it. Let us recognize it and be aware of it. Holy Spirit, forgive us for not giving you the attention you deserve. You're patient. Thank you. But we recognize you, Holy Spirit, and we desire to honor you and to fellowship with you and to be aware of you and to bring you with us wherever we go. And when we don't, Holy Spirit, I ask you that you forgive us quickly and not be grieved with us, but that you do what you do best and just continue teaching us, continue edifying us, and continue showing us Jesus. And we love you and appreciate you for this. Father, I just speak to the bodies of the people that can hear my voice, and I speak health and vitality into their flesh. That by your everlasting life, by the presence of your Spirit, that their vessels be reconstituted, that new water would be poured inside of them, and they would be reconstituted, that there would be cleansing, Father. Health and vitality flowing through their flesh, that their flesh itself, Father, would be purified by your Holy Spirit and made holy. That you, Lord Jesus, would be glorified in each one of these temples, Lord. I speak to any pain, I tell it to get out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, this is the property of God, sealed and stamped with his Holy Spirit. And that we as living vessels, being the temple of God, each one a living stone, together we make the Lord Most High's house. Devil, we give you eviction now in Jesus' name. Out of these bodies, out of pain, out of these bodies. And I just speak restful sleep to people who can't sleep well at night. I speak that nagging mind be slowed down in Jesus' name. That those runaway thoughts like wild horses be reined in and stopped in Jesus' name. That people's bodies would operate properly. That the right flows of amino acids and proteins and chemicals and all the things that I don't even understand on how the body works. I speak balance to our bodies in Jesus' name. I speak that these temples serve the living God. And that they are renewed and regenerated by the very presence of you, Holy Spirit. And we acknowledge this and we give you all the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you guys.